kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
So the idea of this play came about because I wrote this play when I was still part of the Malthouse Emerging Writers cohort in 2023, and we had to write something. But it actually, the idea came about when it's a time when right after my father has died in Manila and had to take care of it, and before my wedding. And while I was researching for a different play in this place called Ballarat, and I went to their only gay club, they played this song, To Be With You by Mr. Big, and I was like, yeah, I know this song, I'm gonna sing with this song. And then while singing it, all of a sudden I started bawling my eyes out, man, like, I don't know why. And I just looked at my husband, and we both got worried, dragged me out, put me in the car, headed home, but I couldn't stop listening to the song. I just wanted to listen to it again and again while I cried. And this idea of, like, what if there's a ghost who doesn't speak to you but just sings to you in a song, which is a very Filipino thing to do. It's like to sing all the time.
And, you know, this play follows Diana. Mm-hmm. I assume it's your character. A trans woman preparing for her wedding while dealing with her father's death.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why did you want to tell this kind of, you know, it's kind of a rare story.
It is. Why did I kind of want to tell this story? Because therapy. No, I'm kidding. I wrote this while I was still part of the Malthouse Emerging Writers cohort in 2023, and we were asked to write something, and then I was like, and that just recently happened to me, so I just decided to write it. So this play has been in my back pocket for quite a while, but I wasn't ready yet to actually, like, show it to the world. That's why I was, like, holding it back. But as a good friend once told me, like, if you watch this play and you read it, all of the other plays I wrote and acted in would make sense.
So how did you form the character, like, the cast for this play?
Like
did you call them, or did you, like, there's an audition thing?
They all sent in their very impressive self-tape auditions. Trevor was the latest one. Like, a week late, but, like, he felt like, he kind of fit the bill, so we made it work.
What interests you to audition for the play?
For me, it was this story of, like, having a story about a trans person that doesn't center on their journey, like, the start of their journey as a trans person, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I know there has been a lot of, like, the coming of age story where they find that they find their identity as a trans person, and then it goes from there. Whereas this one is, like, it's already established that they're a trans person, and they've, like, gone through this whole journey, like, without us, and now we're seeing kind of more of their experiences. So it's just kind of like a reminder that, hey, you know, we're human too, kind of thing.
All right, perfect. How about you, Trevor? What made you submit a week late for this role?
Very week
I did.
Late.
Mind you. The submission said didn't have a specific time, so when I submitted it, I was like, oh, I've still got time. Anyway, I made sure I emailed it because I was like, really? Well, clearly I was very invested in the brief and the story that is Mr. Big. But essentially with the character Joey that I'm playing, just kind of like the toxic masculinity and the tropes that, like, I've seen from, like, Filipino men. And not myself, mind you, but also just, like, I guess, like, a cultural, like, take on that, and being able to kind of, like, understand my own trauma from what I've experienced, like, from either, like, other people's stories about their father, or, like, even my own. So I suppose, yeah, it's just kind of exploring that, you know, Filipino culture and questioning those types of shame and, like, power dynamics. I think that was kind of what drew me into the play.
You know, just by reading the synopsis of the play, I think family and Filipino tradition plays a big role in Diana's character or journey. Am I right, Dax?
That is true. Actually, more than a trans story, it's an immigrant story, how this is. It's a very Filipino immigrant story wherein the Filipino values is really ingrained in family, no matter where you go. Yeah. Especially the concept of panganay, or the eldest. So whatever role you have in your family, especially if you come from a Filipino family, will follow you wherever you are, no matter where you are in the world. So it's more of that, more than a trans story, actually, because there will be a point you will forget Diana was trans in a play. She's just going through this family drama and the struggles of being an immigrant.
You know, the play mixes humor with heavy topics, you know, serious topics like grief and identity. Why that was, you know, why was that balance important to this play?
I guess because that's really how I write things. I always write from the place of joy. If you analyze the plays I've written or, you know, I put up, it's actually kind of like traumatic. If you're going to analyze it in a deeper level, it's kind of like a bit effed up. But again, what is comedy but tragedy under a microscope? So once you find the humor in it, you'll desensitize yourself and actually figure out, like, how do you handle this kinds of stuff? And by presenting this in a humorous way, people might be able to see the likeness of what they're going through and find a little nugget here and there to help them out in their daily lives, I guess.
What also interests me the most is they said this is the first Melbourne production led by a trans femme Filipino artist and with an all Filipino cast, right?
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, a lot, dude. Like, Filipinos are one of the top five immigrants in Australia. I think top three or top five also in Melbourne. And yet, we have yet to see a staged production wherein it's an all Filipino cast, all the more led by a trans Filipina on stage. Though we're just doing a reading, we're going to do a full production in June, but if ever that'll be a first, an historic one for me, and being able to do it would be amazing, because, like, there are a lot of talented, creative, amazing Filipino talents like this two in front of you, and yet they're always playing sidelines and backlines for other people. But at the end of the day, you know, they need to get their time in the sun as well.
You know, Dax, there are, or and if you can answer, there are like content or films or series that has been played by a lot of artists, but, you know, they're not part of like the LGBT or so. How important it is to for this play to be played by a trans, or like the representation itself?
I guess it's placing a trans person within the struggles of what a normal person is. It is a reminder that trans people are just like you. They're no less, they're no better. You're going through the same kind of stuff. Recently, there's a trend of in the Philippines of, like, which kind of saddens me, in social media specifically, where trans women compare themselves to cis women and see themselves as less. That is horrible, because you are not less, you're not more. It's just, you're both women, just different kinds. Mm-hmm. It's like comparing, you know, an apple to an orange. You're both fruits. You're both fruity, you know? So, putting a trans Filipina lead, played by a trans Filipina lead, in a show within that context shows us that, you know, we go through the same kind of stuff. We struggle with the same things. We value the same things. We fall in love the same way. We break our hearts the same way. We cry the same way. We laugh the same way.
For Aiden and Trevor, what excites you the most with your characters?
Oh, that's a question. For me, it's like, even because my character is supposed to be half white and half Filipino, who has never, you know, met his father on who is Filipino and has always been like told that, hey, you have your dad's eyes, but he never, you know, got to see it, never got to know his dad. So I think what excites me about like my character is, even though like that was the, like, he's still very supportive and very encouraging of Diana, even though, like, I feel like if it was me as a person, for example, I would feel a little bit of like jealousy or envy of, you know, not having to have met my father. And maybe I guess he would feel a little bit that way too, but at least he kind of outputs it in a way that lifts and helps other people rather than bringing them down.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Trevor?
Well, firstly, Joey is a dad, and I'm not a dad at my age.
Not yet. No.
So I'm playing a dad, so that's, I feel like I'm sort of modeling my character off the people I know, that that do have kids and who are fathers now. But essentially, yeah, I sort of like explore all the sort of like toxic traits that I guess a cisgendered man kind of has. And sort of like, I think kind of stepping away from that sort of like point of view perspective as a straight male, I just don't condone those things, but also was like, but I guess Joe is sort of the character that's so, has no idea what's happening around him. It's so wild, because I think he believes he's playing really sweet, like sort of man, sort of dad, but he is making all the wrong choices. So sort of like plays blindly, and I sort of think that's actually a lot of people that I know, and I hope when they hear this they're not offended, but that's sort of like the perspective I get. Which sort of discourages me to want to be a father as well at this stage, but I think it's just like, what, it's the question of like, what is the model man? What is the model husband? And in this case, like, what is the, like, what is the characteristics that takes for a proper Filipino husband? Yes.
And with you, Dax, you know, I know you've done a lot of plays already, and with this character that you're playing now, what, I know it's personal for you, but does it still, like, it's one of the most special characters that you will ever be doing?
Oh, I'm very anxious with it, to be honest. Like, I had to create specific safety mechanics for myself that, you know, is still safe for me. It's sometimes when I read a script, I still cry. That's how close it is to my heart. And it's very exciting because, like, I don't think anybody would ever see me in this level of connectedness to a text yet. And also, you get to hear me sing. I don't think Melvin has heard me sing yet.
Right. So, is it the first time that you're going to be singing in the play, or...?
Yeah. And Melvin hasn't discovered that I can sing yet. So, it's going to be a thing.
Here, I think this is an interesting question. So how do you think Filipino parents might react to this play?
Ooh.
That already says a lot, I think. That silence is already...
Dude, seriously, yeah. I asked my siblings to read it just to tell, to ask them, like, what do you think mom would think about this? Or will I get disowned? I've made a couple of friends who are also immigrants read this, and it kind of hits them in a spot. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things here that are said aloud that a lot of people, especially, you know, immigrants and people who work here and support their family still back home, feel, but are scared to say out loud, right?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of shame, sort of like within the play that kind of comes up. I think there's just like, I relate it to like Filipino shame. There's like sort of like, you know, if you go overseas, there's an expectation. That's usually the story that I hear. I was born here, but I constantly hear that story all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Aiden?
I think from like experience and also from what I've observed, if I were to like tell my like mom about it, I think she would kind of explain to me why, you know, she sacrificed, like, why she did the things that she did, like, why she sacrificed, what she sacrificed for me, you know, why, like, I'm here, because of her. It's a lot of, like, pride that probably she wouldn't want to let go, and then she would say that it's just, you know, she did what she thought was best at the time, even though if in my view of it, it wasn't, how she handled it was not like great. Mm-hmm. But you know, she sees it as a good thing and can't blame them for it.
I'm just curious, Dax, what kind of conversations do you expect or do you hope for audiences after seeing the play?
What kind of conversations? Hopefully good ones. Tell them, they say, talk about good things about the show, but literally it's like, because the play heavily centers and focuses on filial piety, which is ingrained to a Filipino, especially if you're born in the Philippines and raised there. From the moment you are born, your parents, most parents, especially my generation, will tell you, like, you know, you owe us because we brought you up and you're alive because of us. And that's just how it was. And while I was growing up, that's how it is. You're a bad child if you, you know, don't take care of your family. But at the end of the day, the people who take care of family tend to forget to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing, because, you know, you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of other people. Mm-hmm. But again, that is a value or a way of thinking that Filipinos are still trying to grasp, especially the older generation. The younger ones, they have no problems with it. They're happy to cut that off. But for my generation and someone similar who grew up in the Philippines, it's tough. Because, you know, you don't want to be branded as a bad child. You don't want to be called ingrata, you know, ungrateful. But you do have feelings, and you do feel stuff, and you do things. And I guess this is what this play is about. It's about those feelings when you do things that you tend to forget, especially if out of duty, quote-unquote responsibility. And how do you deal with that when it overwhelms you and you have no other way but to face it?
This generation that we're talking about is millennial.
Yes, I'm millennial. I'm not a boomer. Or Gen X. So just to remind people, I'm not that old.
Trevor is also part of the millennial.
Yes, correct, yes.
Aiden is Gen Z.
Agency.
Look, I have no idea.
What year?
1997?
What is that? Oh, you're already.
I think you're Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Yeah, the start of it.
Oh, okay.
I can't swear in this show.
All right. So did working on this play change your views in terms of seeing in terms of family or grief?
Ooh, in terms of family, I think it just made me, it validated my feelings of that, you know, familial expectations, because I had been kind of ruminating on it for a while and thinking to myself, like, why am I, you know, suffering and working so hard just to be able to provide for my own family, even though, like, they haven't really told, like, they haven't explicitly stated that that's what they wanted for me to, like, support them, but there's still that feeling of expectation that comes from me, like, yeah. And so that, reading the play kind of hit me in a way, like, I'm so glad that I'm not the only one that, you know, feels like this, and I'm sure that there are many other people who feel that way. But when I was at uni, I had a few Filipino friends, and I've expressed to them about that, but they never seem to kind of completely understand, mostly because they grew up here. Mm-hmm. So they don't know that feeling of still having family in the Philippines and, you know, wanting to help them out by, like, either sending them money or things. Yeah.
All right. And how about you, Trevor?
I think it reminded me of all the sort of, like, conversations I no longer wanted to kind of, like, entertain anymore. And I think as I was growing up, I was actually in a youth group, Youth for Christ, YFC, and so that sort of, like, brought me into, like, probably the biggest community of Filipinos that I'd ever met. So I guess all of this sort of, like, you know, the characteristics or the toxicity of, like, trying to uphold a certain thing that's kind of laced within the play kind of struck me, because it was also, like, I feel like I was only having a few conversations about it. So it was nice to read something written by another Filipino and then have all those kinds of conversations, like, pop up. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm not the only person that's been feeling like this. And sort of, like, yeah, it's been nice to just, like, see that that's, like, apparent, and that, like, okay, there's other people trying to fight the good fight, I suppose.
Dax, for young creatives, or let's say not young, let's say for Filipino creatives watching this play, what do you want to tell them, or what do you want them to get from this play?
From the play, that, you know, piety is, especially for Filipinos, you know, it's normal. Everybody feels it. But, you know, there's a lot of ways of maneuvering through it safely, making sure that you're safe. I want to remind them that, you know, it's not, I always say this, it's not bad to look after yourself. Because, like, growing up in the Philippines, it's what the Filipino Catholicism is about. It's like, if you're suffering, you're a good Catholic. If you're in pain, you're a good Catholic. If there's nothing left of you, that makes you a good Catholic, you know? And that's the culture back home, but that's not the case. Because if you're dead, you can't help anyone. So you know, like, if you're dead, people are burying you. So it's okay to take care of yourself, set your own boundaries, but in the same way, make sure that you're not hurting anyone. Because that's a very, very thin line.
What does success look like for this play?
Oof. What does success look like about this play? When we do the June season and it sells out? I don't know. Like, I don't know how it's successful. Turns into a book? Another production of this play somewhere else? Like, success is very subjective. But for me, what successful would be is, like, if there's a young Filipino or a Filipino immigrant who watches it and says, like, yep, that's exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I'm feel seen. And I know that's not just me.
And for you two guys, I know you are part of a big cast. So how do you have that pressure to do good and, you know, create an impact to the audience?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I did have a freak out. I mean, it's my first play, and you know, I sort of play, you know, yeah, a big character in the play. I mean, I've done a lot of different shows, but I think this is probably the first time I felt very nervous in a long time.
Yeah, I do feel pressure to do good, mostly because, like, I think the goal for me, like, what successful would be for me is, like, people come out of, like, the show realizing and ruminating their life and being like, you know, there are some cultures in the Philippines that I love, but there are also cultures that I can see that are not as beneficial to me as a person, kind of thing. And I want them to realize that they don't have to, like, just accept that as it is, that they can, they have a choice to kind of break the cycle or even, like, educate other people about the experiences, just to have some more understanding of, like, who we are as people and also, like, what our country is kind of like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. And when is the play, Dax?
So the development is happening on the 7th of February at the Tower in Malt House. Unfortunately, we're currently sold out, but don't fret. Please email tayotayocollective@gmail.com. We might find a way to bring you in. Just hold some faith. The full season will happen in the later part of June this year. It's going to be 2 weeks at 45 Downstairs. And the first week of February, we'll be launching our fundraising efforts. Please donate at any amount you can. It's going to be matched by ACF. So if you give $5, they're going to give $5. It's double the amount, so I can pay this wonderful artist the amount of money that they actually deserve.
All right. Thank you, Aiden, Trevor, and Dax. Thank you
Thank
so much.
You.
Thank you.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.